Incidents are up, but what do they mean? We've got two men who have very different takes on the question. Michael Myers is executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition, and Trey Ellis is a novelist and screenwriter. He blogs for the Huffington Post. He's also an assistant professor at Columbia University's Graduate School of Film. Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi, hello.
So, Trey, on the Huffington Post, you wrote about the noose as a powerful symbol, different from the Confederate flag. What do you mean?
I mean, it's not just saying we don't like you. It's saying very clearly we'd like to murder you violently. It's a different symbol compared to even having a gun, brandishing a gun or a machete, something that might be construed as for self-defense. The guillotine and the noose are only used to kill someone.
Now, you wrote that after hearing about the incident at Columbia University that it could be something that was aimed at you. But you also wrote it was kind of disappointing. What do you mean by that?
I mean, you know, as a child of the 70s, not the 60s, I missed out on the biggest battle that black people ever faced, the civil rights movement. So for a moment there, I felt, wow, it had sort of history had caught up with me, and I was going to be thrown in the middle of something, and I'd have to see how I would react. A lot of us of my generation wondered, well, how would I have reacted back then if I had a chance to be a freedom rider or a Panther or a follower of Malcolm X? I thought that this was my moment.
Well, Michael, you also wrote about this Columbia University incident where a female professor had a noose on her door. You thought I'd react differently. What would you have done?
Look, a small noose on a professor's door led to overblown racial rhetoric and racial histrionics about hate crimes, about poison ivy, which is a play on Columbia University's status as an elite university school, a protest sign that said, protest racist lynch rope provocation, that the noose is a racist badge of intimidation directed at, quote, the black community, not at this one black professor, but at the black community. It's a rush to judgment. It's a rush to conclusions, ahead of evidence, ahead of facts. They even subjected the rope, the noose, the small noose, to DNA analysis, put six detectives on it in New York, led to TV appearances by the black professor. Look, a rope small enough to be left on a doorknob is the right size to be put into the trash can. And you can call it a hanger to the noose if you want, or if you must, but I regard it as trash. It's not worthy of the attention it's given in the media and the hoopla that encourages copycats. But I want to say one more thing. We don't know who's doing these kind of things. I mean, so-called the Southern Poverty Law Center spokesperson engaged in more racial rhetoric. You know, typically it is. Typically my butt. It is not anything. We don't know who's doing these things. And it's the rush to judgment. And but it gives the impression that at Columbia University, which is not a racist institution, that at Columbia University you have mobs who are gathering to lynch blacks. That's ridiculous.
Well, Michael, let me go back to Trey. I was intrigued by your whole statement that sounds like you kind of wanted to be thrown into the fire. And what Michael seems to be saying is it's not really fire. It might be a little warm, but it's not really fire.
It's not even warm.
I don't necessarily disagree. But I don't think that anyone at Columbia, where I teach, thought that the statement of the noose represented at all the majority of the citizens or the students at on campus. In fact, I participated in a rally with the film division against racism, and blacks and whites. We came out in force using the incident of the noose, small as it is, as an excuse to come together and talk about what we want to do as a community. As a community of people of color and not of color together to make the university a better place.
In other words, you want to change the subject. You know, the symbols of hate do not scare me, and it should not scare the so-called race experts who are professors at Columbia University or Teachers College. What scares me, quite frankly, is the paternalism that is underway at Columbia University. Blacks, whether they're students or faculty, are regarded as fragile. They're regarded as sensitive, maybe overly sensitive.
Well, Michael,
as needing special protection from symbols and words. Newsflash, we don't need it.
Michael, let me take this out of the context of just Columbia University and just the university. There were nooses at workplaces, including law enforcement, highway department. This is something that is sweeping across. I guess the question is, Trey, for you, and Michael, for you, same question. What is the appropriate response? Is it marches, which have sometimes been discredited, but with Gina 6, often people now think, oh, marches are back as a form of protest that's effective. Is it education? Is it law enforcement? Trey first.
Well, it's a great question because not only, you know, at my university at Columbia, but at University of Maryland, at the Coast Guard Academy, these things have happened. But what's important to me, and this is where I agree with Michael, is that when your enemy acts, you have to do more than react in the way that that's expected of you. So if I were a racist person, I would think I will hang noose to trigger a set of knee-jerk kind of responses and from my enemies. So I'd like to be smarter about our responses.
Michael?
My view is this, that we don't – it depends on the facts. It has to be fact-based, and you respond differently. I mean – as the guy from Southern Poverty Law Center said, you know, so it could be a Halloween prank. It could be a Halloween symbol. And it could be, I don't know who leaves these nooses in the workplaces and stuff like that, or why they leave them, or in the university or on the campus, or why they put the graffiti as they do. It could be a disgruntled person. It could be a sick person. It could be a social misfit. It could be all kinds of people. It could be a person playing a practical joke.
Let me go back to Trey for a second, though. Again, in your article, you said you wanted to meet the challenge that had been faced, previous generations had faced. What about creating a new challenge for yourself? What would you do, or what will you do, in the face of modern day racism, which isn't necessarily as sharply drawn as the color line was?
Well, that's something you face all the time. And as a black man who grew up in a racist neighborhood, as I write about in Connecticut, not overwhelmingly racist, but I certainly was chased down the street and called the N-word often. I write about how my life is much better now, but there's still this residual fear sometimes, or residual suspicion of people. And it always goes back. I always cite the famous Woody Allen line in Annie Hall when he says, they didn't say to me, did you eat? They said, did you eat? And you laugh because he's being paranoid, but you don't know if maybe some of that paranoia is warranted. So it's a great question what you're asking. How much of a racist sentiment are you bringing yourself and seeing in the other person's eyes, and how much is actually there?
Well, Trey and Michael, we're going to have to end
and
it here.
And I say stop reacting so hysterically to
simple. All right, gentlemen.
Dear words.
Thanks a lot. And Michael Myers is executive director of the New York Civil Rights Coalition. Trey Ellis is a novelist and screenwriter, blogs for the Huffington Post, and is an assistant professor at Columbia University. He was at our New York studios, and you can read their articles on nooses at our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.